Welcome everyone to another episode of Stadium Cast, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is John, aka JR Honda, aka Mr. Business, aka Dang Gummit. Where did our tournament organizer go?
Look, don't get mad at me just because I'm not a potty mouth like you.
He said we were in the just getting the audio ready and such, and you were fumbling through your soundboard before we started recording, and you honestly said "Dang Gummit," and I've never heard that expression before, and I thought that's
it's pronounced awesome. Dead Gummit, or
it's dead, like
dead Gummit is,
or dad.
It's kind of like dead. I don't know. Cody's probably the expert on this pronunciation.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely don't want to be giving any advice on how to pronounce words, even country slang like dead gummit.
You're maybe like a country
nerd.
The,
maybe we should consult country nerd on how like to pronounce country
on
slang.
On the hick scale. And I think maybe Cody Miles is somewhere in like the 9.5 range. So yeah, I'll do. He's really good at listening to the show and then correcting your pronunciation. So we have our first correction. We'll just take it at the top of the show here. It's actually Kyurem, not Kyurem.
Well,
but maybe I'll say Kyurem just to spite you now.
I don't care. I'm probably still going to say Kyurem.
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 Say it right.
I'm ready anyway. For Kyurem. I'm going to throw some icy winds.
Well, today we are going to be talking about quite a handful of things. We'll start with the hashtag Go Team Up Champions. They have been announced today. We got a ton of June updates that Niantic has thrust onto our lap. GoFest is coming to your couch this July. Kakuna's Corner is back, and we'll be going into Kakuna's awesome infographic. Ultra League approaches, and we'll be doing a deep dive into Escavalier and Cresselia within the meta. We have our coach spotlight this week with House Stark 93. And we'll finish up, as we usually do, with the Speculation Station, since we have the Solstice and Bug Out events and not a whole lot of information.
All right. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hey everyone, this is John J.R. Honda. Just wanted to stop in real quick and give you guys a heads up as to why this episode of Stadium Cast is coming out a little bit late. You may have noticed recently there's been some things going on in the United States of America. And here at Stadium, one of our founding principles is to give back. And personally, I've been going through some things related to those movements, being married to a minority myself, really had a little bit of a setback, and that caused this episode to come out late. But we wanted to let you know that we're here. We're going to continue the podcast. We do have a new Stadium Gives Back campaign supporting this month. All donations and revenue from Twitch will be going to the Black Lives Matter movement in the form of a donation to the Campaign Zero movement to take a data-centric approach towards ending police brutality and the hashtag 8CantWait. We definitely want to do whatever we can to help support any trainers that may be suffering during this time and also show that, you know, everyone that's a part of our community deserves respect and equality. So I want to apologize that we did have this come out so late, but we are back on track now, and we're here to support our community in whatever way we can, right, AJ?
Yeah, it would feel weird not saying anything with how much it's been, you know, at the center of our attention over the last couple of weeks, honestly. So you won't hear anything about it just because of when it was recorded. But of course, you know, what we center on is building the community. What we center on is giving you content related to PvP, but we are human beings and it affects us all. So anyway, we wanted to make sure we mention it somewhere before releasing the episode. And yeah, I just really appreciate all of your patience for us skipping the schedule.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. We will have a new episode probably come out pretty shortly after this episode airs. So please continue to support us and listening to the show. Leave us a review. Again, thank you to everyone that's supporting us, not only through these avenues, but also through our Stadium Gives Back campaigns. You can find more about those in the show notes. So I'll throw it back to AJ and John in the past. All right. So you take a nice sip of that wine there, sir. EU Emperors emerged victorious today from the Go Team Up tournament hosted by the very own Go Stadium. Thank you to Caleb Pang for casting with our good friend AJ. He definitely needed the help. Cody Miles and Miss Mystic for their work behind the scenes. We really appreciate the hard work that they do to keep pushing more engaging content out into the community. And we truly believe team competitions is going to be a large part of the future of Pokemon Go as an esport and as a viable competition format for the Pokemon franchise. So huge congrats to them. Our next team event will be announced very soon and signups will be opening up this week. So please stay tuned to our social media for that. So this June is jam-packed with some good events, some not so good events. This is all, you know, opinionated, but just, you know, kind of looking at what we've got coming. I'm excited about some things. I'm not very excited about a few things. So we've got the, as AJ has graciously named the perks that we are getting as the COVID perks have been extended through June. So the perks of COVID-19, if you didn't know, were the extended, incense, incense duration, half hatch distance, no walking requirement for Go Battle League sets, various other things, but
hold twice as many gifts in your item bag, open 1.5 times as many gifts, and increased incense effectiveness, which is cool. Yeah, the COVID perks. You haven't heard that before?
No, I haven't heard it put that way. And little did I know that COVID-19 was bringing me so many good things right now into my life.
Yeah.
I have to say, this next bullet point, I was holding my 7th research stamp, thinking, oh, well, I'll wait and see kind of what they may bring for June. Maybe we're going to have a new shiny released, or, you know, something that, you know, maybe Axew or something we really need candy from. Nope. Trapinch, ladies and gentlemen, Trapinch is going to be in the research breakthroughs. Maybe Niantic is testing to see what the worst possible reward is before we just give up altogether on research quests. Who knows? We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, maybe they see, you know, there's a lot of data that we don't see, and maybe there's a large percentage of active daily active users that don't have Flygon, or they don't have shiny Trapinch in their decks. I don't know how they make these decisions. Obviously, for the people that have played since day one and probably have, you know, 15 plus shiny Trapinch, or at least had 15 plus shiny Trapinch and have now transferred them, don't really care about this, but there may be players out there that do. So for those of you that do, enjoy your trap inch and extra candy. I will catch them with the pineapple and immediately transfer them if they are not a hundo and move along about my day.
Do you think that's possible, by the way? Like that they're actually just might as well see what the floor is for when people start to not care about research breakthroughs?
I don't know. I don't think any gaming company would see how bad can we really make it before people stop playing this game or stop using this particular feature.
If you set the expectations really low.
Yeah.
You know, and then
it's hard to disappoint. Yeah. So if next month they come back with the legendary birds again,
I'm just saying
they've been through the legendary birds like three or four times.
I was talking about like a Ferrothorn or something, you know, or maybe like, what have we recently had? A C-Dot maybe with, you know, a shift tree that learns bullet seed. Don't go crazy on me with legendaries.
Shift tree that learns vine whip. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Shift tree.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know. I have to say that I have been very underwhelmed. I cannot remember the last research breakthrough that I was really genuinely excited about. Probably the Regi Trio, and that was solely because I did not have shiny Registeel. I only have shiny Regice and shiny Regirock. So that was the only one that I can remember. But I still do it. I still complete research every day. I still try and get my, you know, 7-day breakthroughs on a schedule.
What were the research before? It was like Kyogre, Groudon.
Yeah, we had Kyogre and Groudon, but I already had all those shinies. We had Flower Crown Eevee. I know House Stark had mentioned on Twitter, a couple people were like, I'd rather just have Flower Crown Eevee back than Trapinch. So, I mean, that was okay. You know, shiny Eevee, you got multiple, you know, phases of evolutions that you can choose from. And shiny Flower Crown Eevee is pretty rare, somewhat rare. So there's that. Yeah. But
I think the days of legendaries, at least for now, are a thing of the past. They're gonna continue with this tangent of, hey, we got this really cool feature we want to make sure that nobody uses, so here's another trapinch. I don't know, they like trapinch for it's yeah. A dragon, it's cool. But legendaries that we do want are coming soon in June. Yep. Zekrom will be coming. I hope I pronounced that right. Is it Zekrom or what wacky pronunciation do you have for me this week, John?
I have always known it as Zekrom, so I do not have any controversial pronunciations to give the community this week for Lashback. I'm sorry, you won't be able to be mad at me, hopefully, this week.
It is coming on Tuesday, June 16th, barring any unforeseen circumstances, which is always a possibility, and it will be global at 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. So it is GMT -7 for those of you across the pond. Zekrom is interesting. We talked about it a little bit last week. The electric subtyping, I believe it's Kyurem is the electric subtyping?
No, you're right. Zekrom is dragon electric.
Yeah, Kyurem. And this one is fire, right? This isn't dragon fire.
The one that we have right now, Reshiram.
Yeah.
Is dragon fire.
I think I've done like two of these raids, by the way. And I just like plug in the default. I have like a local raid group that live within my radius. And I've gotten two so far. So
I did raid hour. I actually went out and did raid hour this past Wednesday and got a few. I got a 96%, but still no hundo. It was 15, 13, 15. So it's the best I have so far. So we'll see. I'm definitely going to want to try and get hundos for each of these legendaries. So I imagine there'll be some weekend raid parties downtown to try and get that hundo. Because I definitely think these are going to be somewhat meta impacting to the Master League.
Oh yeah, meta for sure.
So
the typing is so unique, and in Dragon, you can't go wrong with Dragon plus Dragon Breath.
Yeah, especially Dragon Breath.
It's a great typing.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. So after that, we have the Solstice themed event, which will run from Friday, June 19th at 8 a.m. to Wednesday, June 24th at 10 p.m. local time. So what do you think may happen there?
I
know
think,
we're going to talk about it maybe in our favorite station.
Yes, I think that is perfect material for the speculation station.
Now you got to.
I think you do it better.
I do it better. I can tell you right now. I know I do it better.
Stop bugging me out.
Speculation station.
Stop bugging me out. We got another bug out event we'll run on Friday, June 26th. At 8 a.m. Wednesday local time until July 1st, 10 p.m. local time. We will also be talking about that in the Speculation Station. John, do you wanna say Speculation Station, or do you wanna
Speculation
wait?
Station. There you go. Yeah. I can't create the reverb effect. I have to depend on my soundboard to do that.
Yeah.
But I can give you the goods in other ways, but.
And any of you XP nerds out there, you'll get a Pat Rat Spotlight Hour on June 9th, and you get twice the XP for evolving Pokemon. So get to that. You know,
I've yet to get a shiny from a Spotlight Hour, and I don't have this shiny. So I'm not going to be too, excited about it just because I genuinely, generally just play those from home. And so I still don't have that blue-eyed rat. Still don't have that blue-eyed rat, but I'm going to try to get it. So we'll see.
I had a work trip last week, and I just get off the plane, run the gacha as I'm going home. And then I check my inventory, and I had a few Bronzor. Apparently they were super common, and a shiny Bronzor as well in my inventory. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm not particularly excited about Patrat. I'm not excited about Numel either on June 16th, although you will be earning twice the Stardust for catching Pokemon, so I expect to have quite a lot of Numel in my inventory after that day's over.
And just rename them all Valorash.
Lord and Savior Camerupt.
Yes.
Or Camerupt.
We will search for that rank one. One of these days, Camerupt is going to get his meta to shine. We'll see.
No, it won't.
What about Mega Camerupt though? If we ever get Megas,
maybe.
I'm just saying.
The thing is so derpy watching the attack animation, how like the full, two forward thirds of its body are lifted up in the air as it's that just derpy
like
smile.
Like a bucking wild.
It's so much
flame
effort.
Camel.
Camerupt's fast attack animation take about as much effort as the trainer putting it in the team and using it. So June 23rd, Clefairy will be in the spotlight, and you'll earn twice the XP for catching Pokemon. It says if you're lucky, you might encounter a shiny Clefairy. Clefairy actually a really good Ultra League Pokemon. So, if you guys are interested in getting a potentially a Hundo Clefable for Ultra League, that'd be a good opportunity to do it. But I think Ultra League will be over, so you won't be using it until Ultra League comes back. So, joke's on you. Tuesday, June 30th, Kricketot, and nobody really cares about Kricketot, I think, except some odd collectors that I haven't met. You'll earn twice the candy for catching Pokemon during that day. So quite a lot of spotlight hours that are planned out. And the new Galar forms, the movesets are still on a release. We're going to have to wait until Monday, I think, at this rate.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those, though. I want to make sure I have all of my eggs cleared out so that I can immediately get 7Ks and try and get some good IV Galarian Darmanitan and a few others. I know they're already teasing the Galarian Stunfisk. And I have to say, I am almost 100% confident that Liz George had something to do with approving that social media post and including not only mud in the picture, but mud in the verbiage used, because she did jump into our nice little mud boy debate on social media this past week and a half. So I think that was really cool to see.
Hashtag mud boy confirm, you filthy glass boys.
Yeah, absolutely. So no Go Fest this year.
Home Fest. I called it Home Fest 2020. I wrote these notes yesterday, and I also said maybe it's a couch fest. I don't know what you could call it. Anytime you put fest there at the end, it just leads to some inappropriate innuendos. But Home Fest 2020, since you could do it from home, you could do it from your local park. And I imagine it's going to be a paid ticket entry, but the Niantic has claimed that this will be a completely reimagined virtual event experience is coming July 25th and 26th. So we know a little more. There's a Jigglypuff there on the front page. So some people are excited about that.
Yeah, I have to say I'm very excited. I always have a ton of fun at GoFest. I've been every year. Even the first year, I had a really great experience, even though there was not much playtime in the park, you know, with the game being down and all the server issues. I know, big shock, server issues, but, you know, still, I have to say, just a fantastic experience. And I'm interested, very interested to see how this goes. Super excited about 2 days worth of gameplay. Hopefully there's plenty to keep us busy, between maybe special raids, special research, bonuses and things like that. I look forward to hopefully enjoying, this event with my community, and not only just the community members that usually get to go, but maybe community members who can't afford travel, but can possibly afford just a ticket to be able to play at home. I think this is a huge, potential revenue gain for Niantic, because, you know, typically tickets to GoFest are not very expensive. It's all the associated costs with traveling to an area that makes it expensive for trainers, and also, you know, limits how much revenue Niantic can truly get from these type events. And so I think this is great all around for both them as a business and the community as a community. So
let me ask you this. What is the top price for a ticket before you wouldn't participate? And let's just forget about rewards for now. Let's just imagine it's your predictable GoFest type of experience. What's the most that you would pay for an at-home version of that?
I don't want to sound crazy or anything, but I honestly, I would be comfortable spending up to $50.
Yeah. I you know what? That's exactly what I thought you'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because I think some people might think that that's a little.
25 is what we've normally been getting, something in that neighborhood.
Right.
But it's also accounting for the travel and all that stuff. So they want to make it a lower price. And so if they made it a truly hype event, and it was 50, it'd be okay. I think a lot of people would be really upset though, you know, like, cause they'd see the double of the ticket price. So I don't think 50 is going to happen.
Yeah.
But, it would make some sense to me.
This is definitely a further discussion topic for Speculation Station in a later episode. But I think we will definitely see multiple variations of tickets.
Oh,
we know that they said that a ticket will cover 2 days worth of gameplay, but they didn't define the hours. And I think we've seen from many Niantic events that they do like to have the early access privileges that you can get for, you know, getting, you know, the City Explorer pass that we saw that was going to be the first of its kind. Unfortunately, COVID non-perks ruined that for everyone.
COVID jerks.
You COVID jerks. No offense to anyone who's contracted that disease.
But. No, that's not a COVID jerk.
So COVID is the jerk.
How dare you?
But how dare you, sir? But anyways, I think we will see possibly a... If I had to guess, I would say that I think we will see a $14.99 or $9.99 base ticket price and up to a $14.99 or $19.99 USD cost for an early access pass to these events, to this experience. And to think that they could potentially have even 50% of their daily active users purchase this ticket, even at the base price, they will make, I'm talking 20 to 30 times, if not extensively more than what they're used to making as a net profit on a GoFest type event. Because you got to think, there's no way that they're making that much of a profit, if any profit at all, of these live events. I don't know if many of you have been to them, but they do put a lot of work into them, especially the most recent ones, as far as, you know, staff. They do sell merchandise. They have vendors. They, you know, have all of these different things that I'm sure that they use to recoup some of those costs by putting on these events like this. But this is definitely going to be a huge revenue booster for them. So I see this being a huge success, and I'm happy that they're doing this, not only because of COVID, but I think, you know, from a business standpoint, this makes sense to have both exclusivity for people that want to pay. And also, you know, possibly in the future, we may see continued, you know, localized events that they host at parks like we're used to in normal Pokemon Go events, but also a buy-in option for a virtualized event for people that, you know, maybe gives less, you know, you're not getting exactly what people that go are getting, but, you know, still getting something instead of having to wait and not experience the same sort of experience that other people are having. So anyways, HomeFest 2020 is going to be lit. As they say, as you young people say these days, it's going to be lit. You
young whippersnappers that are a year younger than me.
Correct.
But from more civilized places in the world. speaking of more civilized places, features, I guess, devices, if you are an Android user, Kalki IV has an awesome new feature called the Power Up Simulator. I've been playing around with it today. And it's a huge quality of life boost for people like me that have been searching for breakpoints after a community day or filtering through their different bronze ore, but they don't want to go through the process of looking in, you know, just plugging the data in manually in a PV poke to see the IVs and see what the final stats are. Now you can just do it all in one step, and it's super convenient and really easy to do. So if you're an Apple user, then I question your life decisions, but
how dare you, sir? It is. You watch your mouth.
It is what it is. Seriously though, it is pretty awesome. So, I've really, really enjoyed using it so far.
Well, coming up next, we have a new edition of Kakuna's Corner. Our very own Kakuna Matata, a good friend of Stadium, and the creator of PVPoke.com, the top simulator for Pokemon Go trainer battles. Let's throw it to Mr. Matt.
Hi, it's Matthew from PVPoke, and welcome to Kakuna's Corner.
This week, I'm going to give us a sneak peek at what's going on in Ultra League. First up, let's take a look at some of the more popular Pokemon. Pokemon that have been searched a lot in Ultra League over the past week include Cresselia by a huge amount, almost twice as many searches as Giratina Altered, who's number two. Then you have Swampert and Shadow Swampert. Shiftry is also looking really popular. After the community day, I definitely expect to see some Hundo and maybe some shiny Shiftry running around. And then you've got Ice types, Articuno and Lapras. Registeel, who wasn't terribly popular the first go around of Ultra League, mostly due to the cost restrictions. But we'll see if enough people have scrounged up all the rare candy for season two. Other popular picks include Armored Mewtwo, Venusaur, Alolan Muk, Reshiram, who you shouldn't underestimate, but is definitely an interesting choice. Machamp, Heracross, Clefable, Snorlax, and Escavalier. Escavalier is looking like a really fun pick as a bug steel type. It has some pretty unique matchups. With Counter, it can take on Registeel. With Megahorn, it can take on Cresselia. And I think it'll have some really interesting play. So how about we take a look at some training battle data for Ultra League. What's been hot in Ultra League and training sims? Lapras is the top performing team Pokemon with an average battle rating of 522. So teams with Lapras are winning more often than the average team. Then Giratina Origin is a very interesting one. Giratina Origin has win conditions against all of the big three. Those three being Giratina, Registeel, and Cresselia. Articuno is up here as well. So running theme so far is Ice-type powers to combat Giratina. Here's a very interesting one, and I'm not biased at all. Empoleon. What the heck is Empoleon doing up top? Well, Empoleon has positive matchups against things like Togekiss. It also resists Cresselia's main moves. It could be Packing Grass Net, though, so be careful. And Empoleon also has the Hail Mary Blizzard for Giratina late game. So that's an interesting one. We'll see if it pans out in actual play. I used Empoleon last season. Did pretty well with it. We'll see. Typhlosion is up here. That's an interesting one, beating Togekiss, having Shadow Claw for Cresselia, beating Registeel, and not doing too shabby against Giratina. Cresselia is here. If you're wondering about Cresselia movesets, I've been recommending Psycho Cut, Moon Blast, and Future Sight. The top performing movesets here are actually Psycho Cut, Grass Knot, Moon Blast, and Psycho Cut, Moon Blast, Future Sight. So Grass Knot looking like definitely a valid option. That is interesting. That'll have play against things like for sure Swampert, Lapras, if we see a lot of Lapras. Poliwrath, although like Cresselia just dunks on Poliwrath, whatever moveset it's carrying. So lots of interesting stuff so far. Top performing teams. You have your usual run of the mill, you know, Giratina, Registeel, Cresselia is that those three are gonna be your kind of like Azumarill, Registeel, and Altaria in Great League. They're big, they're scary, but there's lots of ways to deal with them. Another interesting thing in top performing teams, if you're looking to use Escavalier, the combination of Escavalier, Cresselia, and Snorlax is looking pretty strong. If we're looking at Articuno and Lapras, those are often paired with a Swampert to fight off Registeel. Although you want to be careful, you probably don't want to use Lapras and Swampert together. A little risky. There's also some interesting teams with Scizor, Giratina, and Gyarados. That is very interesting. So you have Scizor plus Double Dragon, sort of pseudo dragon. That is a little bizarre, but maybe you want to have some fun for Ultra League, and hope these insights help.
Thank you, Matt. For more regular updates, or if you simply want to contribute to the PV Poke project, head over to pvpoke.com/contribute. Let's look out at this Ultra League starter pack graphic for Season 2. Kakuna just posted this recently on his Twitter, where we've got some premier picks, we've got some budget picks, we've got some example teams, a lot of good information here. What stands out to you on this graphic?
Yeah, I mean, the normal Ultra League hits, which you'd expect that were good in Season 1, are still going to be good in Season 2. The Giratina or Alters of the world, Registeel, Swampert are still going to be alive and well in the meta. But there's some, not necessarily new players, but better players in this town. Cresselia has been improved. Honestly, not so much by Grass Knot as much as the change to Moonblast. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I think we're going to be seeing more Alolan Muk, potentially more Giratina Origin. Armored Mewtwo is still really good. So, you know, if you look at this graphic, which we will attach to the show notes, you're seeing quite a lot of the previous Season 1 meta picks. And Matt was gracious enough to add some of the, what he calls the bargain bin choices. So I think he kind of went for things that don't necessarily need to be completely maxed out and things that might not cost 100k to unlock. So things like Typhlosion are still pretty good. Empoleon's still pretty good. And Venusaur, again, is also pretty good in the anti-meta, right? He also has quite a few example teams, which all of them are pretty balanced, I'd say.
I think it's important to note, if you look at this graphic and you see Togekiss in the bargain bin, don't be shocked by that. If you're new to Trainer Battles or you didn't realize, you can double move a Togepi for 10,000 dust before you evolve it. And generally, when you evolve a hatched Togepi, it's going to come out right around Ultra League range already, or around the 1800s. And because it maxes out at above, you know, 3000 CP, the Stardust cost to power it up is still relatively low. So you can get it up to that, you know, closest possible to 2500 range with little, you know, very little investment to get there. So definitely make sure that you use the unlock as Togepi, which he states here on this graphic.
Yeah. So I want to transition over to a different segment, which is the deep dive of today's show. So anyway, we have Cresselia and Escavalier. Both have revisited their movesets, right? Drill Run got a buff. Moonblast got a buff and a bit of a rework to their stats. And we're going to be going in a little bit deeper on both of them because I think they're going to be some top players in this new meta. Whereas before, they weren't quite as common, right? So let's just start with Cresselia. First of all, Cresselia, kind of a debate whether you run Confusion or Psycho Cut. And then it's most people I think are going to be running Moonblast just such as because it's such great coverage. But then it's like, do you run Grass Knot and do you run Future Sight? And basically everybody can wave goodbye at these filthy Aurora beamers because nobody wants them anywhere close. I'm going to be referencing the sometimes I'll be talking about a matrix simulation. So I've talked about it before in the show. But the matrix simulator is a function on PvPoke where you go to battle and then you use the drop-down menu next to the league that you choose and you just hit matrix battle. And so what I did for Cresselia was I made the assumption that everybody's going to be wanting Moonblast and then you pair it with the other move combinations, right? So Psycho Cut, Future Sight, Moonblast, Psycho Cut, Grass Knot, Moonblast, and then the same with Confusion. And then on the right, you can go into the Quick Fill drop-down menu, Ultra League Meta, select that. And Matt has been super awesome in keeping this updated where you can just plug that in as a default and see how it does. So, takes a little bit of time, but you want to compare. Sometimes you use this tool to compare different IVs for a Pokemon, see if you're going to make a decision. It actually helped me in deciding which Escavalier to power up. But at any rate, there were some interesting findings. The first thing is shields down. You absolutely need Future Sight to handle Charizard. So if you're pairing Cresselia with Escavalier and you don't have Future Sight, you're going to have some pretty tough problems, especially shields down, because Blast Burn hurts and Psycho Cut doesn't. And then all of the other moves from Cresselia are resisted. So you're also going to need Future Sight for a more realistic matchup against Meganium. Some other findings were that Psycho Cut, Grass Knot, and Moonblast were the most reliable moveset in the mirror match. It's not to say that the others don't have any play, but that was the one that had more options. And I think it really comes down to you have the Grass Knot bait and you have Moonblast, so you're able to get to that energy faster. And with Future Sight, you have to go straight Moonblast. So anyway, that is a consideration there. You do need Grass Knot for Empoleon, and you don't really need it for Swampert because in the two shield scenario, it's that's the only time you're really going to need it. And it's a little bit better against Lapras, but normally Future Sight is fine. So those are some situations where you might want to have Grass Knot, but without Future Sight or Confusion, you're going to lose to Venusaur. And you might think, well, okay, then I'll just run Confusion. But honestly, my opinion, especially in the Ultra League, you need those heavy charge moves. You need to get to them as quick as possible. And you're not getting them quick enough with Confusion. So my opinion is Psycho Cut. And here's why. Confusion only, it does give you some win conditions to Escavalier in the two shields. And that's with the opponent baiting. You can beat, Giratina altered in the one shield, much more convinced with Psycho Cut. Psycho Cut also stands a chance against Shiftry, whereas Confusion basically doesn't. And you really have to start cutting your losses with Shiftry if they start, trying to shield every one of your moves. And at that point, you just want to go for a shield advantage. But generally speaking, Psycho Cut better, my opinion, and I think you'll find this to be echoed against, with a lot of other players. Psycho Cut, Future Sight, Moonblast, the non-legacy version is the moveset of choice for Cresselia in the current meta. So, John, you planning on running a Cresselia?
I don't know. I think it's definitely going to be a matter of, the pros that it has is excellent bulk. It's got great moves and great coverage. But the con that I'm worried about is the expensive cost to power it up. I do have candy, but I definitely would need to invest Rare Candy to double move a Ultra League version of Cresselia. I have a great league that's, you know, ready to go, but Ultra League I do not. And I do not have any weather boosted Cresselia that I'm aware of either that would kind of get me closer to that mark. So that's definitely a problem. However, I do like the bulky choices. And I do tend to agree. I think Psycho Cut is definitely better because in Ultra League, you're wanting to throw out charge moves as quickly as possible in order to win because everything is much more bulky. And Confusion, honestly, I feel like Confusion, not only is it inferior to Psycho Cut because of the slower energy generation, but also because you're opening yourself up for sort of really the beginning of the timeout victories that you see a lot of people kind of gunning for. There's even people building complete strategies around timing out your opponent. So I think that could be a downfall if you run that Confusion. And honestly, most of the meta that you see, the top meta picks, you know, are not taking super effective damage from psychic moves anyways. So, you know, having that quick generating Psycho Cut as a fast move to get to those moon blasts and have chance for debuffs and things like that, or nuking with a Future Sight, you know, kind of baiting with the moon blast versus Future Sight is going to be very important. So I'm not sure that I will run it. You know, I did find a groove in Ultra League with Shiftry and Alolan Sandslash, usually paired that with Giratina. But I think maybe there's going to be some changes. And one of the Pokemon that I'm really excited about is not only Cresselia, but Escavalier. I have a rank 81 Ultra League Escavalier that's ready to go. And I've really been interested in what matchups it can really turn around, especially with the new updates to Drill Run. So what do you think about Escavalier?
Yeah, Escavalier, super fun Pokemon just because it's a steel bug type with counter. So, I mean, the options are pretty flexible. And it, when you start looking at its, especially the one shield winning matchups, it really starts to rack up some great ones. So Clefable, Cresselia, Empoleon, Granbull, Lapras, Licklicky, Meganium, Milmetal, Armored Mewtwo, Alolan Muk, Registeel, Shiftry, Snorlax. It even has a bait-dependent win against Swampert, and it also beats Venusaur. That's a pretty awesome list, and I suspect a lot of people are going to try and play it out, maybe especially in the early part of the season, is as a lead, because it's pretty safe. A lot of those are meta choices, and so it has a lot of play against the meta. The super obvious counters, of course, Charizard. You don't want that anywhere near Charizard since most people are running Fire Spin. Articuno is a problem just because you don't have any heavy hits against it. And then Togekiss is a problem because it laughs at all of your charge moves and your fast move for that matter. And Giratina. Giratina is also a problem since you're only giving it neutral with Drill Run, and Giratina kind of laughs at neutral moves anyway. So Escavalier, interesting choice. There are some downfalls to going for the top product, and here's why. Top product, you're going to run into two issues. It is down to CMP, so who gets that final Drill Run is going to win that matchup, no, regardless of shields. So they're not countering each other down. So if you have a slightly higher attack than the upper echelons of the rankings, you know, like a rank one or something like that, you want a little bit higher attack than rank one. And there's also another downside that I found because I was comparing, I had two Escavaliers basically, and I was just seeing how they stacked up against each other. And what I found was Escavalier and Typhlosion, they have almost the same attack. So it comes down to CMP in the first two moves. So Drill Run and Blast Burn come out at the same time. And it's not until the third Blast Burn where Typhlosion outpaces Escavalier with a Shadow Claw. But basically what that means is in the 0-1 shield, it's an IV dependent matchup. Whereas you'd think Typhlosion would be a hard counter just because it's fire type. Well, it isn't, because Drill Run hits for super effective. So anyway, that's an interesting point. What I found is that my one of my Escavalier was able to win that and against a default Typhlosion, and another wasn't. So again, that's going to be IV dependent, and Typhlosion may or may not be rare. I don't know, because it's pretty decent against Cresselia, so long as Cresselia isn't running Future Sight. There's some other nuances to Escavalier. Poliwrath and Blastoise, you can actually take that to two shields and guarantee it, because you can tank one dynamic punch, but not two, and you outpace the Blastoise to Hydro Cannon. So that's neat. Normally, water types counter steel types, but this is a case where they don't. And again, going back to that bait-dependent charge move priority tie versus Swampert, it is because you can tank one Hydro Cannon, but not two. And if you go for a super attack weighted Escavalier, you lose that no matter. Well, you can lose that because it can no longer tank like an Earthquake or something because its defense is so low. So IVs are definitely going to matter on Escavalier. And Drill Run does about 65 out of 177 on Swampert, whereas Megahorn does about 98. So if you can land a bait, if you can land the Drill Run, they shield, go for the Mega Horn after, because it's most likely going to win that matchup.
Interesting. I'm definitely looking at Escavalier and Cresselia as a good pairing. I think it has very few threats to worry about. So I don't know what I would pair as a third. I've got to revisit Ultra League as we prepare to go in, but I definitely think I'm going to fall back on my Shiftry Alolan Sandslash core. But the problem that I run into is definitely fire. Really worry with fire with those two. And in this case, you know, you kind of have that same weakness to overall to fire. I think a Charizard would absolutely wreck that team. So definitely going to be some interesting.
It depends, right? Because if you're running Future Sight, you normally win against Charizard. So there's that. There's actually very few things that beat the Escavalier and Cresselia. And this is the assumption that Cresselia in this case is running Psycho Cut, Future Sight, Moonblast. Typhlosion is kind of one of them, because we said Escavalier can win that, right? Typhlosion isn't the bulkiest, and it really doesn't want to be taken. Honestly, it doesn't want to be taking counters, and it doesn't want to be taking Drill Run, especially. Lugia, believe it or not, is one that beats both of them. So I don't know, Caleb, if you want to power up another Lugia for Ultra League, then there's that. Giratina Origin wrecks both of them. So definitely want something that beats Giratina Origin if you're pairing with those two. And Suicune, believe it or not, has win conditions against both. And then you start to get into some weird picks. Mew, for example, Drifblim. Nobody runs Drifblim, really. Banette and some others like Scyther and weird stuff. It gets really weird once you go down the list too far. But it's a solid core. It's a really solid core.
Yeah, if you're running Drifblim and Ultra, AJ, I'm very confident I'm going to beat you to rank 10 this season.
You're confident that you're going to get to rank 10.
Hey, I've been climbing up a little bit. I'm getting close to rank 9. I wouldn't say close. I'm about halfway there.
Halfway there is closer than before.
Yeah, definitely closer than before. So, I'm definitely going to need some help. I'm going to need to do a little bit more studying and lean on some of the more competent players that, you know, do this effectively and efficiently. And there is no better person that I can think of to help us kick off Ultra League in season 2 than with our coach spotlight this week for Hal Stark 93. Alex has frequently powered up many things in Ultra League just to kind of see how they do. And he has a pretty good knowledge around the Ultra League meta. He has a lot of stuff ready to go. Teams built, ready to attack the meta head on. So let's throw it to Alex Howstark 93, aka Mr. Lose the First Round, Win the Rest. Alex, let's take it away.
Hey guys, this is Howstark, also known as Alex, coming in with some hot takes on Ultra League, Go Battle League, and some cores that I really like. The first thing I want to talk about is Armored Mewtwo with Registeel and Lapras. So in Ultra League, all these Pokemon are relatively bulky. They're very defensively oriented. Armored Mewtwo is a very good lead. There's not a lot of checks to it since not a lot of people will lead a dark type because of all the charm and fighters and like things like Registeel that really put a clamp on dark types in Ultra League in general. So Registeel, very, very good closer, pretty good safe swap. I think Lapras is a little bit better in this team composition as a safe swap. But Armored Mewtwo, a very, very threatening lead because of Confusion Psy Strike, just doing very good neutral damage to pretty much everything in the meta. You can run Rock Slide to hit Articuno, or you can hit use Dynamic Punch to hit like steel types like Registeel or to hit dark types. So it really doesn't matter which route you want to go. Armored Mewtwo is very good and keeps your opponent guessing as to which move it's going to run. The second team I want to talk about is Articuno with Ice Shard, Hurricane, and Icy Wind. You don't need Hurricane, but I feel like it's very good to hit fighting types, especially like things like Poliwrath that resist all the other moves that Articuno has. Swampert is the second Pokemon, one of the best closers in the meta, and one of the best safe swaps. It just does a ton of damage to almost everything. There's not a ton that resists both Hydro Cannon and Earthquake and is a meta Pokemon. I think it's like Shiftry, and I can't think of any other Pokemon off the top of my head. And then Giratina Altered, one of the best safe swaps, if not the best. You can run with Dragon Breath to hit normal types and to hit dark types. You can run it with Shadow Claw to hit psychic types like Armored Mewtwo or just neutral damage against most of the meta. This team is very solid overall. It kind of is weak to things like Cresselia, Lapras, and other Articunos. But other than that, there isn't a ton that is able to check all three of these Pokemon effectively. And that's why it's such a solid team. I was actually talking to Pogo Gotham, one of the best battlers in the world, and he was helping me put together some of the best teams. And these were the two teams that he came up with that I think are really, very, really, really solid. So if you want to get some more tips from him on how to play these Pokemon, I think Articuno is a very safe lead. Same thing with Armored Mewtwo. Both of them, put on a ton of pressure right away. Articuno is able to Icy Wind Pokemon, and then you can swap into either Giratina or Swampert and just farm up a ton of energy very quickly, or put on a ton of damage with Dragon Breath Giratina. So moving on, there's another team that I want to talk about. Escavalier, Cresselia, and Muk. They do not have a ton in common with each other, which is great because they don't have a ton of weaknesses that they share. Escavalier is one of those very good anti-meta Pokemon because it beats a lot of grass types while also beating steel types. And now with the buff to Mega Horn and Drill Run, while also having the access to counter and being a bug and steel type with in a meta with not a lot of fire types, I mean, it's truly just Charizard and Typhlosion. Escavalier can put in a ton of work. I think it's one of the best anti-meta Pokemon. Cresselia, very, very meta Pokemon. You can run it with Confusion or you can run it with Psycho Cut. I think in Ultra League, it doesn't really matter which one you run with. It's kind of like Great League. You know, it really depends on the team that you want to use it with and how you want to use it effectively. And then the third Pokemon on this team is Muk. You can run with Snarl, Dark Pulse, and then your Poison type move of your choice. This is just a very fun team. It is a little bit weak to Escavalier, but I can't see a ton of other Pokemon that would be able to put on a ton of pressure against this team. So it's really fun. it's kind of a weird team composition, but it makes sense. And then some other example teams, I feel like PV Poke has put out his own teams as well. Some of those teams are very good that he's put on his Twitter account. And just gives like a core breakdown of Ultra League and how to prepare for certain Pokemon. And some of the cores he put together, obviously we have the Giratina, Swampert, Registeel, which is pretty much, I think, the best three Pokemon in Ultra League. That's just a very dominating core. But I think one of the main teams I want to talk about is Empoleon, Feraligatr, and Charizard. I think this is a very strange team, but it looks very effective because Empoleon has such a great type in Water and Steel. Feraligatr is just a pure water type, but it has Ice Fang, Hydro Cannon. It just does a ton of damage right away and is able to beat some of its hardest counters. And then Charizard, which is probably the best Registeel counter in Ultra League because of its ability to resist all of Registeel's charge moves while also being able to put on a ton of pressure with Fire Spin and Blast Burn. So these are some fun teams, and I hope that you're able to get something from this and maybe put together some teams on your own that are able to beat some of these teams. So good luck to everyone in Ultra League.
All right. So thank you, Alex, for that wonderful spotlight. You can find House Stark on Twitter at HouseStark_93, on Twitch at twitch.tv/HouseStark93, or on the Go Stadium Discord. You can join our server at invite.gg/GoStadium. If you'd like to sign up for Alex's coaching services with him or with any of our other coaches, you can head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/GoStadium. So now that we're out of the spotlight, where to next, my friend? I don't know. Where are we supposed to go now?
Well, I think there's no better place to wrap up the show than the Speculation Station.
Speculation. Let's get to it. Speculation Station. We're back, baby. We're back in the station.
Oh man. Well, you heard at the beginning of the show, Niantic has announced a bug event. And so I think, like many other players out there, there's bug types are due for a rework. Bug is... What's that noise?
What are you talking about?
Okay.
We're talking about bugs, right?
I can't even concentrate right now.
What?
This is giving me Beedrill Community flashbacks.
Oh, you're still upset about that?
I am definitely upset. Now we got to talk about bugs again? You kidding me?
Yeah. Aren't you ready for the infestation of bugs?
And now I got to listen to Beedrill in the background while I'm talking about bugs?
I just wanted to set the tone, you know? You know, just give you a little... I don't know. That did kind of creep me out, too.
That's the name of that soundbite, by the way?
We were talking about this before the show when I downloaded this soundbite. This is called Flies Buzzing Around Corpse, number one. In other words, there's multiple sound bites for flies buzzing around corpses.
Yeah.
So
the corpse of a turtle that has been lost in the vote.
Or the corpse of an executor. Or any other psychic grass type.
Well, I was saying Squirtle syllabi. Since it didn't make the cut for the top two of the community day votes.
Empty rotten shell.
Anyway, bug is the worst typing in the game. Well, one of the worst. Defensively, you know, it takes a lot of super effective hits against pretty common typings. It resists fighting, so that's cool. But generally speaking, bugs need more love because many of the bug types are also generally the kind of Pokemon that you catch early in the main series games. So they're also not great in the stats department. So that being said, bugs should get more love. They shouldn't get also the worst moves in the game as well. So
are you going to start a change.org campaign with A Drive to get Bugs more love in the game?
Oh, is that what
you don't even know who he is, do you?
I know who A Drive is. Yeah, I've seen some of his streams.
Old Bug Catcher Dan. He's a big bug type fan. He loves like Butterfree and Vikavolt. Oh gosh, I probably just said that one wrong too. If it's not Vikavolt, you know what? I just roast me on Twitter and call it a day.
That's coming soon? That's a bug fire. It's like Volcarona or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Volcarona. Yeah. And then the newest one that came out in this generation, in Sword and Shield, Cintascorch.
Yeah,
it's pretty popular. So
I think bugs are really cool interesting typing. By the way, like I think it is kind of cool because most metas where bug is front and center, it adds for a lot of diversity in the anti-meta, right? Because bugs don't really wall that many things. So many bug types that actually run a bug fast move are running Bug Bite or Fury Cutter. Both of them okay, but not great. So either of them can get a rework and be fine. But the real one that I think is due for a rework is Infestation. I think there's a ton of Pokemon. I don't know if you've looked at the list I have here, but there's a ton of Pokemon that learn Infestation that would welcome a useful bug fast move. So think about Ariados, Beedrill, even, you know, an alternative to Poison Jab. Cradily also, it got Bullet Seed. Now it would get like a different kind of coverage with Infestation. If it was like a Snarl clone, perhaps, or even like a higher energy generation move like Mudshot, it could be that. But some others that don't have much play, Garbodor, okay, that would be really cool. Weezing definitely deserves a better fast move. Believe it or not, Mew also learns Infestation. So there's just a ton of Pokemon that know this move that would benefit highly from it.
Yeah, I think one that's really interesting is Tangrowth. You know, it already has a pretty interesting move set. You've got the typing, and then you give it Infestation, Ancient Power, maybe Sludge Bomb, or I think it learns Power Whip. So there's a couple of interesting things there, and I think Tangrowth should definitely get some better moves to be viable. I'm sure my good friend Dave would enjoy that very much. So he got his, what was it, 8th or 9th 100% IV Tangela the other day. He showed me in the Discord. So he's a big Tangela fan. He maxes them out. You know, he has his army of some of them. So you have, Tangela, regular Tangela. Then you have Tangrowth, which is known as Mega Tangela, according to Dave. And then you have Heracross, which is known as Armored Tangela, according to Dave.
So he's got different versions. I got it. I got you.
Right. So we teased him because at one point I think he had a Heracross as his buddy or something. And we're like, Dave,
Fortress? Fortress has like very similar eyes to Tangela.
I don't know. I have to ask Dave what Fortress is called.
Like shelled? Because it would also be armored, right?
I think it's funny because anytime I look at his like profile, like we're best friends in game. So anytime I look at it, if he has like a, you know, like he was best buddying a Sableye, the Sableye is named Tangela. So he always has Tangela as his buddy.
Fair enough.
But I think that would be very good. I really like Weezing. I mean, I have a rank 9 shiny Weezing that's at 1499 CP. And Weezing, very interestingly, has Thunderbolt.
Yes.
So think about Weezing with a high energy generation Thunderbolt and Sludge Bomb combo that also has bug moves that could potentially be a core breaker for, you know, something like the Azu Regicore, maybe. I don't know. You know, Weezing's a little on the glassy side, but, you know, then again, a lot of these Pokemon have really interesting moves. Drapion, Crunch, Aqua Tail, Masquerain has Silver Wind, and some other good moves. Maybe we see some similar treatment to Silver Wind. I know it recently got nerfed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Silver Wind, Ancient Power, and Ominous Winds were clones of each other, and so they basically changed all of their stats to be a not so great move in the energy and damage department, but they still have the opportunity for that crazy buff or boost rather. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, I've heard a few trainers so far say that, of all of those moves, probably Silver Wind, was a bit unfair because it wasn't really broken in the sense that it was only playable in Great League anyway. And a double boost in Great League doesn't quite have the effect that it has in Ultra League because the stats are much smaller. So anyway, it was, and also it's on a bug type. So,
right. And generally the Pokemon that benefited most from it just got absolutely wrecked by opposing, you know, rock types. Like the one that I remember most was seeing Venomoth using Silverwind and it really bumping up that confusion damage. But, you know, like I said, I think it could really, it definitely needs, the type as a whole needs somewhat of a rework to make Bug a little bit more of a prominent type. And I know we recently saw a tweet come out from the Pokeminers. They do some data mining of the Game Master and the APKs that come out. Keep in mind that data mining is against the terms of service. However, we do like to report on the information that they provide.
Indeed.
So what they found in the...
talking about data mining is not against the term of service.
Correct. That is correct.
Safe.
But they found code for a Pinsir raid day. Are we excited about this? I know I have like 5 shiny Pinsirs from the short weekend that it got released. And Pinsirs were everywhere. You know, shiny Pinsir was very easy to find. It seemed like, so I don't know. There was no mention of any special move, but I know there were some murmurings around about Guillotine possibly being learned by Pinsir. Now, Guillotine is a very interesting move because it's one of the very few moves in the Pokemon franchise, especially video game series, that was what they call an OKO move, meaning that it was a one-hit KO move. However, it had a very, very low accuracy chance. Off the top of my head, the only other move that I can think of that I remember having that same sort of build to it was Fisher. I remember battling Giovanni in the Pewter City, not Pewter City, Viridian City Gym. In the main series games, and his Rhydon, I believe, had Fissure, and I think I threw my Game Boy across the room.
Horn Drill also, and After My Time, but Sheercolt as well.
Oh, wow. I did not know about Sheercolt, but I do remember Horn Drill. I think that was the one, actually. I knew several of his Pokemon learned Fissure as well, but I think it might have been a Horn Drill that got me tilted as a 6-year-old playing Pokemon Red version that, you know, OKO'd one of my Pokemon. So
sad.
Anyways, how would they incorporate something like that into the game? I think they would give it somewhat of a similar treatment to a wild charge, maybe not low energy cost, but something along the lines of a defense debuff that is harsh or two stage. So it would probably need to be sort of like a hyper beam or solar beam style move, but that also had a defense debuff if they're trying to keep it, close to what would potentially happen in the main series games. I don't know. We can speculate. That's what the station is for.
Yeah.
I
don't think they can do much to Pinsir to make it good, save giving it a totally broken move. I don't see it for a raid day. I demand they give us Shadowbone, Alolan Marowak at once. I'm tired of being teased.
I don't know. I mean, even if they gave it counter, for instance, it's still not as good as Heracross. It would still be non-stab. I don't know. I think you have to look at the bug type as a whole and the moves that are available and rework those that would benefit a certain bug Pokemon. Pinsir is...
Yeah, I don't see a learning counter, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they could do to make this raid day enticing other than to people who are just going to do it because it's an in-game event or because maybe they started playing after the shiny became available and they don't have one. I think there will be some sort of special move. I think they've got to do something in order to entice people to participate. We'll see. It could come in form of a move. It could come in form of a bonus. Who knows? But anyways, the bug out event is definitely going to be interesting. I would love to see a bug type rework, but we also have the solstice event. So usually this is celebrated with a Lunatone and Solrock feature Fire and Ice maybe. What do you think we can see from this year's Solstice event?
I think more of the same. Lunatone and Solrock, maybe some Pokemon that know Moonblast and some Pokemon that know Solar Beam. Maybe they give Solar Beam to Pokemon that currently don't have it. I know there's some filthy beamers out there that'd be really happy.
Yeah.
Give Solar Beam maybe, to something like Charizard or something and just make it full-blown memes at that point. Yeah.
I wonder if they could make it to where Galarian Darmanitan appears in the wild. That can be evolved into Galarian. Wait, not Galarian. Is it Darmanitan? Am I losing my mind? What's the?
Are you okay, sir?
I'm not. I'm definitely not okay because I am blanking on.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
The name. Can I get a Whopper with cheese? What is the base form? It's Darumaka. Galarian Darumaka in the wild that can be evolved into Galarian Darmanitan Zen mode, which is the only fire and ice type in the game. So, which should be releasing next week in the champion research. Isn't that what they're calling it?
How does one maintain that fire and ice typing? Right? So like part of you is ice and another part of you is fire.
Don't ask.
So how does your fire not melt your ice?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's you'll have to ask Darmanitan.
For that
Zen
ice.
Mode Galarian Darmanitan.
The ice puts out the fire. There's enough of it.
See, that's a very interesting question because you know, I started to say, well, what about Volcanion? That's a fire and water type, but I have seen water on fire before.
Kind of like that.
Now, albeit it's because of an oil spill, but.
Yeah. Kind of like lithium ion batteries. Here's a pro tip for you travelers out there. If you ever have a thermal runaway on your laptop, the worst thing you could do is put ice over it because it still starts to heat up. And so like there's a fire underneath what's now an igloo, which is insulating the fire. And then it just kind of explodes or something. So maybe that's what Darmanitan is, a recreation of idiots putting ice on lithium ion batteries.
Well, thank you, AJ, for this week's AJ Travel Tips.
Of course. My pleasure. I'm just worried that you're going to start putting ice on your old chargers and stuff.
Ice on my laptops, on my heat, my very hot brick laptop chargers. No, I'm not that dumb, AJ.
You keep throwing them against the wall when you're enraged because you don't get your way. Enraged.
Oh. Oh, man. Anything else before we wrap up this week's episode?
Stunfisk is a mud boy and Galarian Stunfisk is also a mud boy.
There you go. You heard that here first as well. We were the first this time. Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably Liz was the first, being that she most definitely approved that social media post. I know she had something to do with it. And I think it's hilarious and absolutely fantastic, ma'am. So kudos to you. And that being said, we will see you guys next week for another episode. We will dive into the Ultra League meta, maybe some special announcements. Who knows? Stay tuned to our social media for this week's stream schedule, and also be on the lookout for new events, for signups for the team tournaments, and maybe some new event types coming to you soon. So please stay tuned to that, and we will see you guys next week for another episode of... Wait, what do we call this? What do we call this show again? You're the host.
Two bladders. Do your part. That PvP.
That's right. That's right. PvP blathering.
Hashtag dads that PvP. Anyway.
Don't. Let's not.
No. Thanks for listening to StadiumCast. Right, okay. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. I'm getting us out of this rabbit hole. Let's go.
Hey, guys.